Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have CBS News piling on Barack Obama. You know, the funniest things are going on in this country. This here is a story from their CBS White House correspondent, Mark Knoller. And it's a weird day. I mean, the fact that they would do this, Obama's approval ratings have been plummeting. They've been dropping faster than the stock market and interest rates. And CBS piles on with so many in the mainstream media, it's weird to comprehend. And so I just want to do this story briefly, but also invite you to call in 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. How many top priority issues does Obama have? Well, CBS News, they point out that the dictionary defines top, the top priority, as a singular entity. It's that which is first or foremost. It's one thing. And so they give a list of the things, and they have verbatim quotes from Barack Obama saying what his top priority is. For example, here's an example. Do they have a list of everything he's ever said? I don't think so. But this is a quick list here. Top priority, free trade agreements. Top priority. Energy security. Top priority. Education reform. Barack Obama, for each one of these, I'm shortening his quote. You know, he has a whole sentence saying, we've made education reform a top priority in this administration. Student loan reform. I've made that a top priority. Exports by small businesses. That's going to be a top priority. Health assistance to 9/11 first responders. Boy, that's a pretty specific thing, no? I'm not just talking the talk. We've made this a top priority for our administration. Ending homelessness among veterans. Top priority. Hurricane preparedness. Hurricane preparedness? He probably has meetings in the White House on hurricane preparedness every day. Top priority. That's what he says. Our top priority, hurricane preparedness. And then how about this? H1N1 flu vaccinations. My top priority. Support for military families. Top priority for Michelle and me. Well, that's nice that Michelle got in on that for military families. Strengthening ties with Canada and Mexico. We're going to make this a top priority. What kind of ties, though? Consumer protection. During these challenging times, the needs of American consumers are a top priority of my administration. Environmental protection, a top priority. So in CBS News, piling on says, look, everything cannot be a top priority. Not everything. How could everything be a top priority? And in reality, it's politics. But it's not just politics for the sake of politics. It's politics for the sake of opposing the Creator God who sent Jesus Christ, our Creator, the eternal God the Son, to save us. It's politics for that purpose, to express Barack Obama's rebellion against God and the rebellion against God of those who are his allies. And with the Ground Zero Mosque, you know, the people who want to build the mosque at Ground Zero, they're the ones who use that phrase first, the Ground Zero Mosque. They're the ones who said that they're going to do the official launch on September 11th, 2011. And they're the ones who said that they want to redefine what 9/11 was all about. In fact, they even said that they want to own 9/11. How's that? That's too much, huh? It would be like building a museum to the German nationalistic heritage next to a Holocaust museum. So you got a Holocaust museum, whether in Jerusalem or Washington, D.C. or wherever, and next to it, you want to build and honor German nationalism. Now, there's nothing wrong with Germany as a nation, but you're going to do that next to a Holocaust museum? And so I'm glad to hear that Eye of Newt has seconded here on Bob Benyart Live when we've pointed out that the Muslims who are demanding the right to build a mosque at Ground Zero in Manhattan, that we need to challenge them to condemn the Muslim government of Saudi Arabia for prohibiting churches in Mecca, in fact, in the whole country. Aren't they hypocrites? They demand the right to build a mosque in a part of New York where Muslims don't live. I mean, I don't know how many people live on the southern tip of Manhattan, but the organizers of the Ground Zero Mosque have admitted that they don't have local Muslims there that would attend the mosque. Their purpose is to be there to exploit 9-1-1 as a way to promote Islam at Ground Zero. I mean, they've admitted that. And so Newt Gingrich is the second person now that I've heard of on the air. First, there's Bob Benyart Live. That's some show out of Denver. And then there's Eye of Newt. The Eye of Newt. No. All right. Half of the studio audience doesn't recognize that phrase, Eye of Newt. It's a special potion to bring about magical results. Eye of Newt Gingrich is the second person who has pointed out the total hypocrisy of the people demanding the right to build a mosque at Ground Zero. Why do Muslim leaders worldwide not condemn Saudi Arabia for banning churches in Mecca, in the whole city? In fact, the entire Islamic nation of Saudi Arabia, the kingdom, why do they prohibit churches, yet they want to fund the building of a mosque at Ground Zero? It's total hypocrisy, and they don't get called on it. So I'm really glad that Eye of Newt Gingrich has called them on it. That's a start. That's a start. Newt is getting interested in politics again, right? Remember that he was trying to decide whether to join the Republican primary for 2008 with Huckabee and Rudy Giuliani and all that crowd. And we knew that he was thinking about throwing his hat in the ring because he went on Focus on the Family's radio program with Dr. James Dobson and he repented of adultery. Now, that doesn't happen every day, does it? Does that happen every day? Where a conservative Republican leading political figure goes on some religious radio program and repents of adultery. It just doesn't happen every day. And so Eye of Newt goes on with Dr. Dobson, and I almost drove my car off the road cracking up, knowing exactly what's going on. Eye of Newt is thinking about joining the Republican primary. And so when many of our liberal-minded, comfortable with child killing type Republican politicians, when they prepare to run in a primary, they find God. They get a conversion to the pro-life position. They repent. They repent of adultery. They just whatever. And Christians have been so gullible for so long, and that's why I'm just thrilled with Colorado Right to Life and a statement put out by Leslie Hanks. It was really great. After the Colorado primaries, boy, was it encouraging. And she pointed out that, okay, we've got a couple top candidates who've won their primaries, and we're really thrilled about that here in Colorado, because the ones who have endorsed the personhood amendment without exceptions, they're the ones who won the primary, Ken Buck and Dan Mays. And they defeated Jane Norton, who says, oh, I support Amendment 62. She said that because she wanted to win the primary. That's why she said it, because she still holds that there are some children that she will not attempt to protect by law, children that she thinks should be expendable, that you should be able to kill certain children based on the circumstances of their conception. And that's gross. I mean, that Jane Norton says that is just gross. She claims to be Christian and pro-life and qualified to be a leader, and she thinks that some Jewish children could be gassed. Oh, wait, that's not what she said. She thinks that some children could be dismembered, torn limb from limb by Planned Parenthood's abortionists. She thinks that, and she wants to be a leader. So it exposes her deception when she said she supported Amendment 62. And similarly with Scott McGinnis, who had amnesia when he was asked if he was ever a member of Republicans for Choice. He said, I don't think I was ever a member of that group. And so Colorado Right to Life spokesman went on Colorado TV and said, look, his name was on their letterhead for years. He's just a liar. So the two candidates who were more strongly and apparently more sincerely supportive of personhood won in dramatic upsets, Ken Buck and Dan Mace. And so there is an analysis of the primary. Personhood wins big in Colorado primaries on Colorado Right to Life's homepage. And at the end, there is a note, related news, and it says, as America's very first Right to Life group, Colorado Right to Life has a long memory. We've seen many election cycles where Republicans campaign in the primary as conservative pro-lifers, and then they become moderates in the general election, and then they govern as liberals once in office. With these encouraging primary results, Leslie Hanks, Colorado Right to Life sponsor of the Personhood Amendment 62, stated that if Ken Buck stands strong, we'll stand with him. And Dan Mays was the first to endorse Colorado's Personhood Amendment, and we see Dan as a man who will keep his word to protect every child. So subtly, sort of like, you know, subtly, the way judges or ambassadors might talk, where you read between the lines, Leslie Hanks is saying, look, we're serious about this. If you begin to sway, we will expose that. The time when Right to Life groups, certainly in Colorado, give a pass to fraudulent pro-lifers who are willing to kill some kids, that time is gone. This is not your grandma's pro-life movement. And there's a serious effort here to stop child killing in Colorado and then in America and then in the world. Serious effort, and personhood is the dagger in the heart of liberalism. Personhood is. We got a brief letter here, a short letter here from out of state. What a neat letter from Paul R. And he writes, dear Bob, I really love the radio program. My dad is addicted to your Real Science Friday shows. I'm addicted to them also, Paul. I mean, Fred Williams and I, we just have the greatest time on the air and with all the scientists that we get to interview over the years. And if anybody wants to hear those Real Science Friday shows, you go to KGOV.com, and it's just a blast. I mean, creationists are slaughtering the evolutionist. In the battle of ideas, creationists are slaughtering evolutionist. And I just reread a chapter from Walt Brown's book on the origin of radioactivity. Wow. That Walt Brown is simply brilliant. He is the Isaac Newton of the modern creation movement. At any rate, Paul writes, Bob, I really love the radio program, and my dad is addicted to your Real Science Friday shows. I love that you continue to hammer abortion and that you are working daily to get Christians to realize how far we have fallen from God's standards. Thank you for all that you are doing. And Paul enclosed the gift. Thank you, Paul. And he said, could you send the Mount Moriah DVD? I would love to see that. Mount Moriah is the DVD we produced years ago on the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, we'll send that to Paul. We even offer that for free for people who are not believers. When somebody's not a Christian and they ask for the Mount Moriah DVD, we send it to them free of charge. And you know what's pretty cool? If you ever go to prolifeprofiles.com, you know, if you go to that, you could do prolifeprofiles.com/ and then put in the name of a leader or a pro-life group or whatever, and you get the report. Like prolifeprofiles.com/Romney, prolifeprofiles.com/Palin. You know, and their profiles are pretty scary. prolifeprofiles.com/CWA or National Right to Life or whoever. And then there are really great ones like prolifeprofiles.com/, say, Alan Keyes or Judy Brown or ALL or so and so on, Colorado Right to Life. Well, did you know that you could do prolifeprofiles.com/Jesus? Did you know you could do that? You can do that. And it is so cool because much of the old pro-life movement taught their workers, don't mention God. We're going to win this based on the laws of science. And that was so politically naive. As though God is somehow a detriment, right? Ronald Reagan won his overwhelming landslide because God was a detriment, and he tried to keep God out of it? Was that it? Of course not. God is not a detriment. You don't have to be ashamed of God. Well, we'll go to the phones in a moment. 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. But at prolifeprofiles.com/Jesus, there is such a neat page. It is just awesome. Do you know how you could go on the internet and search for the gospel and try to find out what does the Bible say about salvation and gaining eternal life, being reconciled to God? And you might go to a website where they present the gospel. Well, at prolifeprofiles.com/Jesus, there is a page that presents the top websites, a list of them, for hearing the gospel, and it is so great. It says, please consider the gospel message, and then each of those you could click on for kids, for teens, for readers who want to be reminded of the evidence, for atheist readers, for evolutionists, for photography lovers, for good people, for someone who wants to talk to a real live person, or watch a DVD at home, or if you have the time right now, this is all at prolifeprofiles.com/Jesus. And the heading of the page is Knowing Jesus Christ is Eternal Life. So you consider the gospel message, and or if you have the time right now, for someone who wants to find out by yourself for viewing this movie about Jesus online, or by learning about him in 1,000 other languages. All links right there. It's so cool. Let's go to the phones. Who are we going to first here? In Denver, Porter, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How you doing, Pastor Bob?
Doing great, sir. What's up?
Oh, man, I am so just confused, confuddled. I've stood at the Bush Mills with you and Joe Scott, and I've heard you guys say that abortion is absolutely wrong.
Yes.
And then I just heard you mention that you're trying to expose those quote-unquote pro-lifers who believe that it's okay to kill a baby in some cases.
Yes.
The exceptions to the rule, right?
Yes.
Of absolute wrongness. And I was just told that Ken Buck has said something on your – I mean, I've seen it on his website, and I've seen – and I just heard you mention it. But I just was just told that he said something on the air on your station – I mean, on your show that he believes in the exception to the rule, and but he believes it's absolutely wrong, but there's an exception to the rule. And I'm confused. I mean, abortion is absolutely wrong, right? I'm not heartless.
All right. All right. No, no.
I want to hear this.
No, Porter, that's just great. I mean, we have to know, right? And we have to fight the battle and win. So Ken Buck was on.
Before you say that, Pastor Bob.
Well, wait, let me respond so far. Ken Buck was on KHAL Radio. He was asked by Craig Silverman about 3 weeks ago now, how about abortion for rape and incest? And Ken Buck said that the unborn child is a person. You don't kill a person because his father's a criminal.
Right.
So that's pretty extraordinary. But go ahead. You want to go further. Go ahead.
When they passed the partial birth abortion, you went crazy over the ones who were, quote unquote, supposed to be pro-life. But they said, okay, those are passing the rules and exceptions for it. It's conceding to those who are pro-abortion.
Right. There's a period after thou shalt not murder. There should be no exceptions. So the partial birth abortion ban was not a ban. It's not a ban. In the ruling from the Supreme Court and in the legislation, it says you cannot kill the baby if you pull him out to the neck, but you could kill the baby if you only pull him out to the belly button. I mean, it's just absurdly wicked. But now go ahead. So tie it in with Ken Buck.
So we're going to make rules that you can't kill a baby unless the life of the mother is in danger for whatever medical reason, whether like Jane Norton, if it's rape or incest or something.
No, there should be absolutely no exception. So there is no such valid position that abortion is wrong except for the life of the mother, except for rape, except for incest, and so
that's
on.
That's Ken Buck's position. That's on his website. He believes in the sanctity of life, except. He opposes abortion, except.
Except for what? Except for what?
The life of the mother, in cases where the life of the mother is threatened.
All right. Well, it's good that you're pointing that out, and here's what we should do. And let me tell you what my experience is, okay? My experience is that the politicians and the groups that support personhood, when they say they're against abortion except for the life of the mother, they always agree with us when we talk that through with them, and they need to be educated. I'll give an example, and I'll give you a name, all right? U.S. Senator Bill Armstrong. I talked to Bill Armstrong about 3 months ago during the cure period of the Amendment 62 petition drive. And we were asking for permission to get signatures at Colorado Christian University. And about 2 days later, we got an email from a student group saying, could you come on the campus? And so anyway, that was a neat conversation. And Bill Armstrong said, well, I'm with you, except I have an exception for the life of the mother. So we talked through that for about 5 minutes. And in a nutshell, I said, Senator Armstrong, you never, of course, if there's an ectopic pregnancy, say a tubal pregnancy,
right,
of course, you remove the baby. Both the baby and the mother are going to die. You remove the baby, and your goal is to save the baby and save the mother, but tragically, the baby dies. But the goal is never to kill the baby. In other words, in a late-term pregnancy, if the baby and the mother are dying, you don't kill the baby to save the mother. You deliver the baby, and you try to save the baby and the mother. And Bill Armstrong said, well, of course, I agree with that. I agree. And
so
in my experience,
what he says.
Yeah, exactly. So, Porter, in my experience, that the pro-lifers who agree with personhood and they say, except for the life of the mother, they agree. They don't know how to say it. And we have to teach them how to say it. And so maybe your call could be the beginning of that effort with Ken Buck. And if Ken Buck, if he dug in and if he said, no, I think it's okay to stop caring for the mother long enough to kill the baby, then we should oppose him. So we need to work on Ken Buck.
We do, because I like almost everything else he says, but that right there.
Oh yeah,
it pushes my spirit away, and people like me, the conservative Christians out there, not the Tea Partiers, but people like me instantly go, okay, let's see who's next: Tancredo, Mays, who? Well, what do
yeah,
we got?
Yeah,
immediately,
very good.
I just turned away from him.
Very good, Porter. I think it's a great, great call.
Thank you, Pastor.
And we need to do that. I agree with you 100%. Let's go to Denver. Dave, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. I take my hat off to Porter. I was just listening in. I would agree with him, and my question is very similar to his. How do you frame a question so you know a politician is actually pro-life, not just telling you what you want to hear?
What a great question. And if you go to the candidate survey on Colorado Right to Life's homepage, that has been downloaded thousands of times this election season. So ColoradoRTL.org, and click on Candidate Survey. You'll see the survey that dozens of Colorado candidates filled out this year, and there's also reports on their answers. And the goal at Colorado Right to Life is to leave no wiggle room. So there is no wiggle room. And I think it's right there.
That's great. Thanks, Bob.
And it also deals with the life of the mother, Dave. So check it out. And, hey, call in and tell me what you think about that survey. God bless you. Appreciate that. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Our website is KGOV, KGOV.com. Check out mycampaigntracker.org. We need your help.